Do you have trouble standing up for the Lord? Do you have trouble when people are saying things that are not biblical, stepping in and saying, but do you know what God's word says? But do you understand who God is? But do you realize that God is sovereign? Do you have trouble saying things like that? I wonder why. Could it possibly be that you fear the face of man? That you want the praise of man over the praise of God? The fear of man that brings a snare. And when you are trying to be a people pleaser, when you want to blend into the crowd, when you are hesitant to speak up about God, you can know this, you fear man more than you fear God. And precious one, listen to me, that's a very dangerous, unsettling place to be, because it will lead you down a path that only leads to destruction. You cannot serve, Jesus said it, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. Galatians chapter 1, you can't be a bondservant of Jesus Christ and be a bondservant of man. You have to make a choice. And that's what this week is all about. This week, as we look at, to me, the saddest chapters in Jeremiah, and you're going to see why they're so sad. But as we look at the saddest chapters in Jeremiah, you're going to see a people that do not learn their lesson because they are fearing man. And listen, in the days in which we're living, you have to decide whom you're going to fear. Are you going to fear man? Or are you going to fear God? There are consequences for fearing man above fearing God. And there are rewards and blessings, not exemption from suffering, but rewards and blessings that will come if you will fear God. We're going to look at it. So open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 41. And we left there. Remember, the children of Israel are now, Ishmael has taken out Gedaliah, who was to rule over the children of Israel. And Ishmael has all those people, those men, those women, the daughters of the king, etc., on their way to Ammon. And what happens? Verse 11. But Yohanan and all the commanders of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael had done. So they took the men and they went out to fight with Ishmael, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. Now, if you have a map, and you get a map with us when you download our study guide on preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, or else you can call if you can't download. It's 1-800-763-1990, 1-800-763-1990. We want you studying with us. We want you to know how to discover truth for yourself so that you will truly fear God and not fear man. But you can't fear God, respect him, and trust him if you don't know who he is. So that's what this is all about. All right, so they found him by the pool. Verse 13, now as soon as all the people who were with Ishmael saw Yohanan and the commanders of the forces that they were with him, they were glad. They didn't want to cross that Jordan River. They didn't want to go over to Ammon. And so they're very, very glad. Just think about these people. They're led this way. They're led that way. Gedaliah tells them, stay in the land. The king of Babylon will bless you. And now Ishmael's come along and he's killed Gedaliah and he's taking him to Ammon. Now Yohanan is pursuing Ishmael. So it says in verse 14, so all the people whom Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Yohanan. But Ishmael escaped from Yohanan with 8 men and went to the sons of Ammon. So exiled Gedaliah, he's off the scene. Now exiled Ishmael, he's not dead, but he is gone. Guess who is in charge? Yohanan. Now watch what it says. Then Yohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him, took from Mizpah all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael after he struck down Gedaliah. That is, the men. Now catch this scenario. The men who were soldiers, the women, the children, the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they went and stayed at Geruth Chinham. You say, where on earth is that? Well, he tells us, which is beside Bethlehem. Now catch this, and you want to double underline it because we double underline all geographical references. There's a lot to underline here, Mizpah and Ramah and all these different places. But double underline it. Why does he take them near Bethlehem? He takes them that way because that's the way to Egypt. So what is his intention? His intention is to go to Egypt. Now, God has said a long time before this, woe be unto those who go down to Egypt from the time, in the time of trouble, or to go down to Egypt for help. It's like going to the world for help when you belong to God. So it says in verse 18, and I want you to get this verse, because of the Chaldeans, they were going to go down to Egypt because of the Chaldeans. Now, Gedaliah said, stay here, and they'll take care of you. But now remember, Ishmael has killed the one that the king of Babylon appointed. So now there's a fear here. Because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them since Ishmael had struck down Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. So now they're fearing the face of man. Now watch what happens. This is so key. This is the chapter that literally breaks my heart. I mean, it breaks my heart. Watch what happens. Then all the commanders of the forces, Johanan and Jezani and all the people, both small and great, said to Jeremiah the prophet. Now remember, Jeremiah could have gone to Babylon, but he chose to stay in the land. He stayed with Gedaliah. Gedaliah is out. Ishmael, he was being led to with the group to over to Ammon. Now Yohanan is there. They're on their way to Egypt. But listen to what happens. Listen to what happens. It says, and he said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition come before you and pray for us to the Lord your God. Now, what I do is I mark every reference to prayer. I use fine points, pens and colored pens. And so I underline prayer like this. And then at the end of each of that underlining the side, I put like a diagram of hands in supplication. And then I do that in purple, and then I color it pink. So if any mention of prayer or supplication is in the book, I can see it. So he says, pray for us to the Lord your God, that is for all this remnant. And remember, we're marking remnant, because we are left but a few out of many, as your eyes now see us. That the Lord our God, now this is, I highlighted this in yellow. You don't want to miss this. That the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk and the things that we should do. Will you go to God and ask God where we should go? Ask him what we should do. And then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I've heard you. Behold, I am going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance, I'm going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with these words. I've heard you. You want to know what God has to say, where you're to go, what you're to do. And I will tell you the whole message which the Lord will answer you. I will not keep back a word from you. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to listen to God. And whatever God says, I'm going to tell it all to you. Then they said to Jeremiah, now this is key. May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us. If we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you for us, to us. If we don't obey, if we don't obey, he says, then we're calling God as a witness against us. He says, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, whether we like what God says or we don't like what God says, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen to the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you. Now, what are they saying? Look, Jeremiah, we're asking you to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, what is the way we are to do, go? What are we to do? And we are calling him as a witness that whether we like what you come back with or not, we will do it. So please, please tell us what he says. And so then he says that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. Now, what I do is over every use of listen or hear, I take my green fine point micro pen and I draw a green ear. If it's a positive, they're going to listen, I just leave it like that. If it's we will not listen or we did not listen, then I put a line through it indicating that it is a no, it is a stop, it is a don't do. Do you get the picture? They want to know what God says. Let me ask you a question. Do you want God's direction for your life? Do you really, really want it? Whether it's what you want or what you anticipate or what you desire or whether you don't desire it, do you so fear God? Do you so respect God? To fear God means to respect him for who he is, to respect the fact that he is God, that he's sovereign, that he rules over all, that he is worthy of our obedience. To fear God is to respect him. It is also to trust him. To say, okay, you're God, and I'm going to trust you. Do you really fear him? Or do you fear man more? We'll talk about it in just a minute. Take time to listen to God? Do you take time to commit your way unto the Lord so that you can trust in him and be convinced that this is what God has said for you to do. You know, our lives are so busy. We're going chip, 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 chip. We're just so fast. We're so speedy. We're always listening, always talking, always texting, always hearing. It's noise, 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 noise. And we don't take time to listen to God. And you know what? When you don't take time to listen to God, then you don't walk really in the fear of the Lord, in the trust of God, in the respect of God. You just do it on your own because you've got to make a decision. Well, remember, they came. Now they're under Yohanan, and it's the children of Israel, the small remnant left in the land. They're camped on the way to Egypt, but they want to know what God says. They've said, you tell us, and God is our witness that we will, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen and we will do what he says. 10 days they wait. 10 days they wait. And God comes back with the answer. Look at it. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 7. Now, at the end of 10 days, and you would put a green circle there and underline at the end of 10 days, because it's a time phrase. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I mark every reference to the word of the Lord or God saying, usually with a picture of like an open Bible. I do it in purple because it's God's royal word, and I color it green. And so it says, and said to them, and then he called Yohanan and all the commanders of the forces that were with him for all the people, both small and great, and said to them, verse 9, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Can you imagine? They've asked, what is he going to tell us? What is he going to tell us? We've waited 10 days. What is he going to tell us? To whom you sent me, Jeremiah speaking, to present your petition before him. And this is the answer. If you will indeed stay in the land. If you will stay in the land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. This is God. He's saying, don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land. I will build you up. I will not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I will relent. And I draw a purple line under because it's God, and then go around the corner and put an arrow going in the other way. I will relent concerning the calamity I have inflicted on you. What an awesome, awesome promise. You can stay in the land. And you know what? I'm going to build you up. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm going to plant you. You're going to be solid. And I am, you know, I had calamity planned for you. And I've been telling you that. And you go through and you write, you mark every use of calamity. I put a black circle around it and then color it red. He said, I will relent of the calamity that I have inflicted on you. I'm going to bless you instead. Then he says this, and this is very important. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. I know you're fearing him. Stop it. Stop it. The fear of man brings a snare. Stop it. Do not fear the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him. Now, that's exactly what Gedaliah said to them. So they should get it. Hey, this is God's message. Gedaliah said, don't be afraid. Stay in the land. I will intercede for you with the king of Babylon. But because Ishmael came along and killed Gedaliah, now they're afraid of the king of Babylon and they're shaking in their boots. And God says, stop it. Stop it. Do not be afraid of the king whom you are fearing. Do not be afraid of them, declares the Lord. For, now why are you not to be afraid of them? For I am with you. I am God. I am with you. He says, to save you and deliver you from his hand. Now, we have a hard time grasping this, beloved, but God is sovereign. He rules over the nation. Sometime study Psalm 2 and you will see it. We fear man. And you know what? We fear the nations, and so therefore we go against God. We fear the people, so therefore we go against God. We want to be popular, so therefore as a president or as a politician, we court anybody that's going to give us our vote, and we make promises to them that are compromises against God. We fear man above fearing God. And who is man? He's another man. You say, but he has more power. I know he has more power, but duh. Doesn't God have more power than man? I mean, didn't God create them? Doesn't God give man breath? Can't he take it away? You say, well, he sure should have taken the breath away of Hitler a lot sooner, and Mussolini a lot sooner, and Mao Tse-tung a lot sooner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He didn't, because he had a purpose. And many times he leaves them as a test for you and for me. And this is what he says. I will show you compassion so that he, the king of Babylon, will have compassion on you and restore you to your soil. There it is. There it is. They have the answer. They've waited 10 days and now they've got the answer. The answer is stay. The answer is don't be afraid. The answer is I've got it under control, and I will make the king of Babylon have compassion on you. But if you are going to say, we will not stay in this land so as to not listen to the voice of God. God has spoken. They have said, tell us what he says. We will do it. We will listen whether we like it or not. And what God is saying, because he knows their hearts, he's giving them the choice. He's setting before them, in a sense, like he does in Deuteronomy, life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. And so he's laying out the consequences, and he says, but if you are going to say, we are not staying in this land so as to not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the sound of a trumpet, indicating war, or hunger for bread, and we will stay there. Hey, we're going to go to Egypt. We're going to go to Egypt, and we are going to stay there. We're going to stay there, and we're not going to hear about war, and we're not going to hear about the sound of a trumpet, and I'm not going to be hungry again. Well, for heaven's sakes, we've read that they have all the land before them. We've read that they have oil. We've read that they have summer fruits. We've read that they even have wine, and they don't charge them for it. It's there for them. He says, then in that case, if this is what you're saying, if this is your attitude, he says, listen to the word of the Lord. Put a green ear over listen, and then mark the word of the Lord. O remnant of Judah, mark remnant too. Thus says the, you say, but that's a lot of marking. That's right. And it takes time. You know what? But I can look down and tell you in my Bible, I can spot it like that. Every place that remnant is used, I can spot every place that the word of the Lord is used. If I want to know about remnant, I look at every place it's used, and I list everything I learn about remnant. You say that takes time. That's right. But you know what? It puts that word in your heart, and it puts it in your mind, and it seals it there. And so he goes on to say, no, if you're saying no, we will go to the land of Egypt, then in that case, listen to the word of the Lord, O remnant. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go there to reside, then the sword, which you're afraid of, will overtake you in the land of Egypt. If you fear man instead of fearing me, then you're going to hurt, and you're going to hurt bad.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Well, beloved, as I've said many, many times, we've come to that time in the program where we look at God's precept for life. What is His standard? What is His truth by which we are to live? How can we take what we've learned and apply it to our lives? Because these things were not written so that you simply might know truth or know events, but so that you might know them so as to find and discover the precepts and then to live accordingly. Well, you see in verse 11, he says, do not be afraid. We have heard that again and again. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. In other words, stop fearing the face of man. He says, if you do fear the face of man, there are consequences for your disobedience. That's what I want you to see. You're not to be afraid of man, but if you are, if you choose that path, you can know that there are consequences for fearing man above fearing God. In other words, if you're in a situation where there are two paths to take, one is according to truth, one is according to righteousness, one is according to justice, one honors God, one puts God in His proper place. And then there's the other one, and it may not be so bad. It may be just a matter of convenience. It may be just a matter of, okay, you know, I'm just not going to stand. You've got to know this, that at that point you have made your choice. And as we see in verse 15, if you do not listen, verse 15, then in that case, listen to the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the God of Israel, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go in and reside there, then the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you in the land of Egypt, and famine about which you are anxious will follow closely there in Egypt, and you will die there. You've made your choice. And you're saying that I can't take care of you, I can't feed you, so you've got to go down to Egypt. You're saying, oh, he's going to kill us, so you're going to go down to Egypt. If you go down, you're going to die by the sword, you're going to die by famine. You've made a choice. Do you realize how important your choices are? The next time you have to make a choice, stop and ask yourself, am I fearing God or am I fearing man? And know that if you fear man, there is the consequence of disobedience.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.